Arthur Miller, one of America's greatest playwrights, is dead. Miller died of heart failure Thursday night at age 89. He was surrounded by family at his home in Connecticut. Miller's fiery moral dramas took a hard look at America and American values. His two most famous works, Death of a Salesman and The Crucible, are staples of literature courses in schools around the world. When Death of a Salesman premiered in 1949, the New York Times had this to say: "What Mr. Miller has achieved somehow seems to belong to everybody, for he is writing as an American with an affectionate understanding of American family, and everybody recognizes in his tragic play things that they know are poignantly true." Miller's own family had middle-class roots. His father manufactured women's coats. His mother was a schoolteacher. He was a private man who was thrust into the spotlight when he married Marilyn Monroe and when he refused to name names in the 1950s to the House Un-American Activities Committee. Miller never stopped writing over six decades. He was working on new material at the time of his death. Bob Mandello offers an appreciation.
You'd have to call it a full life. Arthur Miller, a lanky New Yorker who was often described as looking like an intense, watchful eagle, not only wrote the great American play when he was 33, but also married the most desired woman in the world a few years later. The marriage ended badly, but the play is probably immortal. So precise is its evocation of Willie Loman, a salesman first played by Lee J. Cobb, who is being beaten down by the weight of the American dream.
Howard, are you firing me?
I think you need a good long rest, Willie.
Howard,
and when you feel better, come back and we'll see if we can work something out.
But I gotta earn money, Howard. I'm in no position now.
Where are your sons? Why don't your sons give you a hand?
They're working on a very big deal.
Oh, this is no time for false pride, Willie. You go to your sons and you tell them that you're tired.
I'm crafting a story about an ordinary guy who wanted little more than simply to count for something. Miller captured a very real post-war anxiety. Death of a Salesman actually sparked controversy when it was first produced over whether Willie Loman's death was, properly speaking, tragic. The classical notion of tragedy, handed down from the Greeks, had to do with great men falling from great heights. Kings could fall, but foot soldiers like Willie couldn't. Miller gave his overworked everyman a plain-spoken eloquence, and then had him fall not from the height of his accomplishments, which were meager, but from the height of his aspirations, which were our aspirations, too. In the process, Miller essentially redefined tragedy for the modern age. That said, it was a less respectable theatrical form that first captured his imagination back when he was 8 years old and going with his mom to his first stage show, as he told NPR's Susan Stamberg in 1995.
It was a melodrama with a cannibal on a ship who had planted a bomb, and everybody on the ship was looking for the bomb, and the audience knew where the bomb was because they'd seen the cannibal, and everybody was yelling at the actors, "It's over there." And the actors, of course, stupidly couldn't find it. That's when the power of the theater hit me.
Harnessing that power in the service of ideas became Miller's life's work. He wrote fervently about individuals faced with terrible moral decisions, and he never wrote with more passion than in his fiery call to conscience, The Crucible. The play caused a furor in 1953 by drawing clear parallels between the McCarthy hearings and the Salem witch trials of 1692. Miller gave his characters the odd diction of colonial life, but the stakes were the same. Are you now, or have you ever been?
They press him, John.
Press.
Great stones they lay upon his chest until he plead aye or nay. Then say he give them but two words. More weight, he said, and died.
More weight.
Aye. It were a fearsome man, Giles Corey.
The Crucible is where many high school students first learn about symbolism and metaphor, which is odd for a playwright who is often thought of as a realist because the people in his plays are so down-to-earth, the manufacturer in All My Sons, who knowingly supplies defective parts for warplanes, then lets his partner take the blame, the junk dealer in The Price, who tries to manipulate a family argument to his own benefit. Some critics have accused Miller of writing little more than social melodramas, but the language he gives his characters invariably takes audiences to a higher plane. Ask an actor about doing a Miller play, and you'll often hear that those eloquent declarations of his are a real mouthful to say. Where Tennessee Williams wrote lines that sound like everyday speech, Miller's characters often spout paragraphs. But the ideas, the values he writes about, call for elevated language. Miller spoke far more plainly off the cuff than his characters did on stage. 15 years ago, when Tom Vitale asked him to describe the first night of Death of a Salesman, he made what must have been a very big moment in his life sound almost unremarkable.
Well, after the curtain came down, there was dead silence. Nobody applauded. I didn't know what to make of it. And people started getting up, putting their coats on. A few were chatting with each other in a very somber way. And then somebody thought to applaud. And then some more applause, and then pretty soon they were all banging away, and it never ended.
That night or since, attention has been paid. I'm Bob Mondello.